teaching on first fruits, and then I'll keep going on it tomorrow. So what we're doing is we're celebrating first fruits, which starts in the evening of today and brings us on through. I'm going to try to get as much of this in as I possibly can, but I'd really like to focus on helping us to understand first fruits in a lot deeper detail. First fruits, just the short of it, is when Yeshua resurrects. So it's dealing with the resurrection. He's the first from the dead. First from the dead. Now, there were many dead before Yeshua, but he's the first from the dead. That's important. And, you know, when you look at Scripture, these things are just amazing to me to see the Scripture. And I'm going to give you some. Tonight, we're going to look at some patterns. So you want to have something to write with. I'm going to give you a lot of information, and we'll see how far we could go with this. I'm going to give you a lot of information that you could take some notes and continue on in your study as pertaining to first fruits. And I hope this is something that really ministers to your life. Yeshua is the first fruits on Nisan 17. Nisan 17, so keep that in mind. You might want to make a little note of that. Yeshua is the first fruit on Nisan 17. So quick rundown, the lamb is taken on what? The 10th. You can keep it how many days? 4 days, that makes it what? And then 3 days, he rises. Does that make sense to everybody? All right? I'm taking this information out of the Bible. So I don't know how in the world somebody come up with a Good Friday. How many know for years and years and years we follow Good Friday? How is that possible? You understand? Well, I'm gonna speak on something pertaining to that, and I believe it'll help all of us to lay aside some things, lay some things to rest. I think that'll help us later on in the study. But think about this. The lamb is taken on the 10th. You keep the lamb 4 days. The 14th. 3 days and 3 nights. The 17th. Then we have first fruits. Now, with me saying that I'm starting something. So that's my opening statement. Now, does the Bible give us a pattern without pink squares? Right? Because we got to check it out. Hopefully we'll do that tonight and give you some information. And I also want you to continue doing your own study. This is important stuff. And I believe God wants us to understand this fully. Colossians chapter number 1, verse 18. Colossians 1, verse 18. He also, head of the body, he's also head of the body, the church. And he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. How many see that? We're talking about Yeshua. He's the firstborn from the dead. Firstborn. So who's the dead that he's talking about? If he's the firstborn from the dead, who's the dead that he's talking about? Everyone else that died from Adam all the way to Yeshua. He's the firstborn from the dead, meaning he's the first fruit. How many want to take a guess at when Yeshua, what date was it in Nisan that he rose? What day? The 17th. He rose on the 17th of Nisan. So that's important, very important. And I could get into, and maybe I'll do it maybe Sunday night or something, I can get into 17. We break it down. We got 7 and 10. Right? 7's the number of perfection. 10 is the ordinal perfection. And I went over, I can, it's so many wonderful things about 17 that's incredible, and I don't have the time to do it tonight, but maybe I could get into it at a later time. So again, we're at that same place. I can talk about first fruits and get you prepared. So first fruits is something that we have to actively be involved in, just like unleavened bread. So the week of unleavened bread, what kind of bread are you eating? Unleavened bread, right? And we're learning to remove the leaven. I mean, we know what leaven is, right? Leaven is pride. And we're working on it. How many feel like that's something that's helping you and you're getting better at understanding that? It's very important. Very important. And we don't, because this is how we grow in the Lord. Now, same thing with first fruits. There's something that we have to do to participate in first fruits. Now, some people teach their first fruits. I can give you a list of them. Anybody ever typed in first fruits in your search button? YouTube that and see all the big namers. They are so far off base, it's not even funny. They're nothing but a bunch of wolves devouring the sheep. And the sheep is going, bah, bah. Like their eyes is glazed over and they just going, bah. And they're just giving, based on a prophetic first fruit interpretation or whatever. You could go down the list. It's a whole list of them. Right? But they're so far off, it's not even funny. They preach it as a tithe. They preach it as a seed. They preach it as all sorts of things, and none of them preaching what it really is. First fruit is not a tithe. First fruit is not a seed. How many understand that? It's not none of those things. But it's something that's in your heart that you want to give when you come before Yahweh. Could that be monetary? It could be. You know that. But we should never come before him on first fruits without something in our hands. And we should teach our children that. This is something we should teach them. When you come before God, it's something that you've thought about all year. All year. You have 1 year to think about what you're going to do out of your heart to present before Yahweh. That's what first fruits is. And I mean, and again, if you want to, there's a participation in it. Now, we're going to look at it because you say, well, how do you know that? Because this is what Yahweh did. He gave, there was something given. He showed them how to do that. So we're going to read the scripture. I'll start. So remember this. He's the firstborn from the dead so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. Right? Listen, Yahweh is going to give him first place in everything simply because he was the firstborn from the dead, meaning he satisfied God in how he lived and kept himself free of the leaven. Did Jesus have to remove the leaven? No, he kept himself free of the leaven. He who knew no sin became that. He became that. In other words, he took on all of our iniquities, all of our transgressions. And this is what's so wonderful about the Lord. And then he laid his life down for you and I. And then he rose on the third day. I mean, understand that. The third day is not I don't know how you get 3 days from how people calculate this. It's absolute, doesn't make sense. But it just come along, and once one guy started it, everybody followed it from then on. And but let me tell you, how many know that you can be in something for a long time, but when God gets ready to get you out, there's a reason he gets you out, to bring you in. Why did he take the children of Israel out? To bring them in to their promised land. How many of you know when you see a mass, and let me tell you, it's going to happen, it's going to start. There's going to be a mass exodus out of the status quo, name it, claim it, all this stuff that's going on. There's going to be a mass exodus out of that. People say, we're not going to do it. And you're part of that. You and I are part of that. If we wouldn't have went the way we went, we wouldn't know how to appreciate what we got right now. So I'm not going to look back and say, well, I can't believe if we wouldn't have went that way, how in the world? Listen, there was a reason behind it. But here we are. I believe it's to set us up for that final approach. How many of you know we're in the third day? And this is something that's amazing. Leviticus 23, verse number 12 through 13 says this. It says, now on the day when you wave the sheaf. Now remember that. On the day when you wave the sheaf, you shall offer a male lamb 1 year old without defect for a burnt offering to Yahweh. When you wave the sheaf. Now, what would happen is they would get ready. This is how you tell. Now, we're studying. All this is kind of going, flowing together because we're doing the Creator's calendar, right? And we know when it says the month of Abib, how many has ever heard me say that word? Well, that's not the name. That's not like Nisan would be. That would be because the Abib is actually when the barley comes to be ready. When the barley comes to be ready. What they would do is they would go out the day before and they would bind the sheaf, not cut it. They wouldn't put the sickle in. They would bind it and prepare, and then they would go back. Why they had to go back? Because there was a Sabbath. The Shabbat was next. And then after Shabbat, how many of you know when it says the first day of the week? Has anybody ever heard that? What happens? The sickle would be put in. The grain would be cut, first fruit. How many understand that? That's why it had to be, just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. How many understand that that's important? And so all of it, it all lines up, every bit of it. There's no pink squares. So let's take a journey on this and look at it. So now on this day, when he waves the sheaf, so what happened when they put the sickle in? They would bring that barley to the priest. And the priest would wave the sheaf, that the first fruit. So when the sickle, listen, the sheaf got bound, and then it got ready to be harvested. And when Yahweh put the sickle in, he released Yeshua from the earth. So the sheaf, the wave, is the resurrection. And this is important. How many learning something already? This is a powerful stuff. And you just, once you get into it, you start studying it, you can't get enough of it. You hunger for it because there's something about this. If we grab hold to it, it'll change our lives forever. In verse 13, it's a grain offering. Now watch this. This grain offering shall then be 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil. Let me see that. An offering by fire to Yahweh for a soothing aroma, with its drink offering, a fourth of a hin of wine. A hin of wine is about 5.5 quarts. So they want a fourth of a hin. So it's not much. But that's important too. Remember, he could have said, why didn't he say a half of a hin? He uses that other place because he wants a fourth. There's a reason. I don't have the time to go into it. But every time you come across this, you can stop right then as a study all its own, because all of these things are important to Yahweh. Now, you see this. It's, what does this represent? Well, let me give you a couple of ideas of what this represents. Number one, a male lamb 1 year old without defect. 1 year old without defect. Think about that. Let me just throw this out there for you and give you some stuff to think about. How many has ever heard the term that Jesus' ministry was for 3.5 years? Right? I've heard that. I've said that. Do you know that there's some information in Scripture that shows if you do a complete study of it, that we may have started his ministry earlier than we should have. And that's a whole nother study. But listen, the reason I'm saying that, he said you offer a male lamb 1 year old without defect. From the time God counts it and we count it, maybe two different things. And so that's a whole study all its own. You might want to put a little note in your note keeping there and say, you know what, I want to check this out. Number two, 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil. Number three, with its drink offering, 1/4 of a hin of wine. This sounds like somebody's getting ready for a meal. What type of meal? The type of meal we're talking about is dining with the king. Dining with the king. This is important. A lamb completely burnt with none left over. So that's not, this is a burnt offering. So that lamb was put on the fire and it was burnt completely up. It was a burnt offering. Flour for unleavened bread. 2 times as much as usual. So if we go back and compare how much he said to take, it's just twice as much. Because it's dining with the king. You have a guest. And we have to think about that. Do you know that? Just to think about this. If you had been given ahead of time advance notice that the king was coming over to dine with you, that would be, you would listen, if you were baking, say you were baking cookies. That's the first thing that comes to my mind. All right? Say you were baking cookies, right, for the king coming over. And you baking cookies, and the first batch you baked, something happened to them. And so you put them on the side. It just didn't come out quite like you wanted them. And then the second batch you baked, I mean, they would just come out. They were the best you've ever done. Which one are you going to give the king when he comes over? Right? Now, you bake the first ones. That's what I'm trying to tell you. People start teaching this first fruits wrong. Which one will you give the king? The first ones you baked didn't come out right. But they were first. To understand first fruits, a lot of times we put so much emphasis on first, and we lose the fact that you won't do that because you know about first fruit. What you accepted, what you seen that meant more to you and touched your heart, you said, now that is the ones I bake. I don't know what I did here, but those right there are the ones I'm giving him. That's first fruits. You see the difference? And you got to grab hold to that. You got to line up with that every time, every single time, whatever you're doing. So remember, oil to anoint the king. That's what the oil's for. It's to anoint the king, representing the will of God and the filling of the Holy Spirit. So all of these things are important. He didn't just say, well, just do this, do that. Everything God says is important. And then finally, wine to finalize the covenant is representative of his blood. So every one of these things is important. One lamb, a year old, without defect, burnt completely. Then he talked about the unleavened bread, the flour for unleavened bread, twice as much as usual. All to anoint the king. Remember the oil mixed with fine flour, the oil. It's for the anointing, represents the will of God. And a filling of the Holy Spirit. And wine, how much wine? 1/4 of a hin. 1/4 of a hin finalizes the covenant representing the blood. So I put that in there so you'll understand. This is, when you're talking about first fruits and preparing for first fruits, and getting things lined up. We should think about this and understand this is important. Do you know that a lot of people all around the world, especially here in America, they're all pumped up? I mean, they're in the secular realm, in the news media, everywhere you look, everybody's gotten pumped up for Friday and Sunday. It's the truth. You don't hear a single thing about Jesus. They don't hear nothing going on until this time of the year rolls around. Why do you think that's happened? Because, listen, once you got steeped into something that won't bring you to God the way God prescribed it, you're going to always be reminded often to stay in that. But you hear very little when it comes to the unfolding, as it were, unpacking what the truth is in the Scripture. That's why it's up to you and I to know it, understand it, grab hold to it, and explain it to as many people as you possibly can. Very important for you to do that. In Leviticus 23, verse 14 says this, until this same day, until you have brought in the offering of your God, you shall eat neither bread, nor roasted grain, nor new growth. Notice that. Now I'm going to say it again. You shall eat neither bread, nor roasted grain, nor new growth. It is to be a perpetual statute throughout your generations in all your dwelling places. This is not something that is going to go away. This is something that's important. And tomorrow I can talk about this bread, roasted grain, and new growth to show you what we're talking about there. Now, I'll do it right now, just a little bit of it. What flour were they going to use to prepare the unleavened bread during the time of this feast of unleavened bread and first fruits? What grain were they using? Was it the Aviv? Or was it what they had from the previous year? Remember that. What they had from the, not, so people said, well, it was the first fruit. No, it was not. They didn't cut the grain. Remember, Aviv is what tells you the start of the new year. It's the Aviv. It's not, when I say the month of Aviv, it's not, that's not a name of a month. That's telling you whatever that month is, it's going to be Aviv. It's going to be when the barley gets ready, and then they'll know. So everything lines up. Everything goes into conjunction. It's nobody really knows what's going on. It's dark. But then we know the sliver comes. Well, the sliver is not the resurrection. That's not when we do the resurrection. But it's taught in many places that's when you do it. The resurrection, during that time of unleavened, is 3 days and three nights, and then that happens. That's letting us know that we're on the right track. Now, I want to show you something that I believe will help us understand this. I want to talk about the third day so we can see what this means. And as you see the patterns, you'll see how it lines up. I'm going to talk about it, and then I want to cover Nisan 17 and show you some important principles about first fruits. Remember, first fruits is what you've worked on for the year, for the whole year. And you said, I'm going to come before God with something in my hand. That's important. Very important. How many has ever heard this statement? Let me take care of this now. That Jesus did not ascend. Remember, they came to there, and he was there, and he said, don't touch me, for I have not ascended yet. Right? Yet, then he has an encounter with Thomas, and he says, touch me. I want to submit to you, he ascended, then come back, and ascended again. Now write that down. Because you want to go look at that. So, because he had to. He had to ascend. Because how could he bring how could the wave be done with the sheave if it doesn't get before Yahweh? Who's, let me ask this question, who's Yeshua's priest? He's not his own priest, but the Father. Listen, if whatever Yeshua is, he's ultimately submissive, and it says that in the scripture, to that one. So if he's considered our salvation, and we say, well, God is our salvation, well, God ultimately is the ultimate salvation. He's the one that extended the salvation to the one that we call our Savior. Does that make sense to everybody? So when Mary and them come to the tomb early in the morning, he had already been ascended. He'd already resurrected from that evening, because when did it start? When did the third day end? So during that whole night, he's resurrected. That's why when they get there, it's already done. It didn't just happen, which is mostly taught by everybody. It didn't just happen. It had already happened during the night. But he didn't ascend, because he's either a liar or he did ascend. I'm going to go with Jesus. He said, I didn't ascend. Yet he said, you can't touch me because I haven't ascended yet. Yet Thomas, he tells him to reach out and touch me. That puts the brakes on to me. Sometimes we don't see that. But it puts the brakes on. I go, okay, one can and one can't. What happened in between? I submit to you that he ascended to bring the first fruit, the sheaf, to be waved, and then returns back, and then he gives the teaching of the kingdom of God like you have never heard in before to get us to understand these principles. If he didn't, then the pattern changes somewhat. There's some questions left that we need to be answered. Watch this, Exodus 19. Let's go on this thought for a while and see what happens. Exodus 19, verse 10 through 11. The Lord also said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their garments, and let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai and in the sight of all the people. How many see that? When is God going to come down? On the third day, in all the sight of the people. So there's a significance that we have to look at here dealing with the third day. Now, I'm just giving a couple verses to get us in there, and then we'll go back and I'll show you a bunch more. Esther 4:16. Go assemble all the Jews who are found in Shushan and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days. Let me see that. Night or day, I and my maiden also will fast the same way. How many see that? The same, I'm going to show you, we did a Purim, right? We did our whole study there, and I'm going to show you how so significant all of this is, how it all ties in together. And thus I will go into the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. But what she wasn't going to do, she wasn't going to go in unless she's getting understanding beyond her years. She's being led and guided by something, and she's not quite getting it yet, but she's realizing something's going on. She says, fast for 3 days and 3 nights, and I'm going to do the same. So keep that in mind, because this is important stuff. This is what's going to help us understand first fruits. So when did she say this? When she says for them to do this, who wants to take a shot? That when did she say, what month, what time frame did she say that? That I want you to do this. I want to submit to you. She says this and then goes in before the king after 3 days and 3 nights on Nisan 17. How incredible that is. So, it's take the lamb on the 10th. Keep it 4 days and the lamb is killed. You kill the lamb. Jesus was taken on the 10th. He was crucified on the 14th. Put in the grave 3 days and 3 nights. On the 17th of Nisan, he rises. Okay? Now, there are some there's a lot of significance to the resurrection and all the stuff that happened with the wave and of the sheave. But I now want to take you on this journey to show you this pattern, how Yahweh, when he starts something, he's not going to stop. And I want to show you what's the probability of all this stuff happening all on the same day in all these different events all throughout history. Well, let's look at it. Nisan's the 17th of Nisan. That's what the title is. Number one, Nisan 17. Noah's ark safely rested on Mount Ararat. Genesis 8:4. When did it happen? Nisan 17. Nisan 17, number two. Hebrews entered Egypt. In Exodus 12. 40 through 41, 430 years before deliverance. Now, I want to stay right here for a little bit. You know, a lot of times we wonder, can I ask you something? Why did they enter into Egypt? Because there was a famine in the land. Remember that. They entered Egypt because there was a famine in the land. And let me tell you, for 430 years, I want to ask this question. Were all the Israelites still God's people? You better believe. He said, because I hear the cry of my people. That's what he said. He said, I hear the cry of my people. See, sometimes we don't realize that there's a process we all got to go through. And I hope this will help you. Don't fret about what you didn't know or what you should have known. The thing that pushes us to different, listen, if it wouldn't have been for Egypt, they'd have all died in the famine. But they went to a place where there was nothing but pagan worship, pagan celebration. Now y'all, I don't know if y'all getting this yet. But it was in that. That God let them see something. Listen, you don't know how good God is and how wonderful God wants to be until you've been somewhere and he takes you out of there. Sometimes we got to go somewhere so we can learn to appreciate when God gets you out, how amazing it is that he kept you through all that stuff. That's what I was reading. I said, you know what, God, this makes all the sense to me. Because you question your own journey. You question it. And then somebody, especially if your journey has sometimes offend somebody. Used to be your friend, but not your friend no more. Then you question, did I make the right decision? And sometimes we don't realize, listen, if it wouldn't have been for, listen, on the 17th, the Hebrews entered Egypt. 430 years before they were going to be delivered. They were steeped heavy in the all sorts of idolatry and pagan ideas that it was the Yahweh, the one true God, and all this stuff. And you know what God did? After all of that, he brought them out. Through Passover. Isn't that amazing? See, we got to understand that our journey, there's going to be a point in our life that we got to realize that we need deliverance. We got to be taken out from that, and that's what you have to see. So, sure, we've done this and we've done that. But listen, when God gets ready to get you out, those who will listen and do it the way he has prescribed, you'll have a great deliverance. If you don't, the firstborn dies. And so I hope that you'll use that to help you. Maybe we could talk a little bit more about it in the morning. Number three, Nisan 17. Moses led the Israelites through the parting of the Red Sea on when? Nisan 17. I mean, see, all this is important. They come to that Red Sea, and it didn't look like they were going to make it. They got this huge body of water. There's millions of them, not hundreds. Didn't sin. There's a lot of people to deal with. You got to get everybody coordinated and everybody. I mean, do you imagine? You know, you can take a few thousand people, and it's hard to get coordination going. So there is a lot going on. You know, they had the animals, they had the people, and they had a lot going on. They had this spot where they jammed up, and the enemy's coming. But God says, listen, this is a pattern that God uses. He uses this pattern. He said, I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to set you free. I'm going to give you this freedom. Number four, Nisan 17, Israel entered and ate the first fruit of the promised land on Nisan 17 under Joshua's leadership. So isn't it amazing? They entered on first fruits and ate the first fruits. How incredible that is. I'm just wondering who's guiding the clock here. We're not that smart to figure that out through that many generations. I'm wondering who's guiding the clock. Who's the one that's got his hand involved in everything that... You know, this makes me think about it. You ever wondered about your footsteps? You ever wondered that, you know, we spend more time beating ourselves up about some little things that we bumped into and we bruised ourselves up. And you don't even realize how your footsteps have been ordered by the Lord. You've had incredible God encounters, and you haven't given yourself any credit whatsoever that the reason you had that because God was with you. He's the one done that. You didn't even think about it. You know, you didn't think that. It just popped into your brain, and you made that decision. You were following Yahweh. You were following Him. He did that. You could be going down a highway. You could stop anywhere you want. But you took that exit. You could go to any restaurant you want, but you went to this particular restaurant. You could have sat at any table in that place, but you had the table with that waiter, that waitress, that you slipped some money in their hands and you prayed for them and their children, and their life will never be the same after that. Is anybody following this? Those are things that you've done, that you've witnessed, that you've seen that, and y'all got to embrace that. You have to embrace it constantly. And this is what God does for us. He constantly does these types of things. So Israel enters and ate the first fruits of the promised land on Nisan 17. What happened before they, and I could just, this thing goes on and on. I'll catch up with it. Maybe on the third day portion of this. Number five, Nisan 17. The cleansing of the temple by Hezekiah 800 years after entering the promised land. If you're going to cleanse out the temple, I guarantee you want to do it on Nisan 17. 800 years after they entered the promised land, the temple was cleansed out on the 17th of Nisan. Number six, Nisan 17, Queen Esther saved the Jews from elimination. And I started out with that. And then number seven, Nisan 17, the resurrection of Messiah. How incredible is that? So we see all of these things as a pattern here. How many see that this is a pattern? And we just see there's no break in it. It kind of flows throughout, and every one of these things are absolutely significant. Well, listen, let's go back to the one when they entered into Egypt. They entered there because of a famine in the land, but they didn't enter there without already having somebody poised and positioned and ready to embrace them, and that man's name was Joseph, who's a shadow of the Messiah, Yeshua. Think about it. And when those boys showed up and he saw them for the first time, it done something for him. I mean, he went, He was put in a pit, and then he was put in prison, and then God promoted him to the palace. And now all this stuff, he's wondering, what is going on? And then the famine hits, and here they come. The Hebrews come in, because they're going to starve, and every one of them is going to die and lose their life. But God set him up and said, get ready. But do you know that when the brothers come in, they put the cup there in the grain, right? And he put them in, and he didn't release them for 3 days. He kept them in prison for 3 days. And then he let them go. And said, go get them and bring them back. I'm about to wave the sheave offering. I've been working on this offering for a long time. Go get them and bring them back. I've been working on this. That's the first fruits. And understand this is so important. Very important. So I hope that you understand. And listen, when you're thinking about what can I do when I come before God, when we come in service tomorrow, what can I do? You got tonight, go home, and the rest of the morning, when you wake up, what can you do? It's got to be something in your heart. It's just something deep down inside of you. And sometimes, we always, and this is what all of these teachers are teaching, the only thing you can ever give God is money. Well, that's not true. It may be that that's what God speaks to your heart to do. I don't know that. But that's not the only thing. That's a bad teaching. There could be other things that, and you come before him. He said, don't come before him empty handed. That's why they would go out after that. When the Shabbat was over, they would go out. That it was already bound. The sheaves had already been bound. And they would take the sickle and put the sickle in and bring it. And then they would take it. And now it was ripened but not ready. And they went through the process. And that's a whole teaching all its own. They would bring it in and they would take it off and they would thresh it. All that would happen and they would roast it and all that stuff. And then they would grind it. And then the bread would be made. And they would wave it before the Lord. And that's a whole separate teaching all by itself. The odds of these events all happening, coincidentally, on the same day of the Hebrew year are, and this is what it is, 783 quadrillion, 864 trillion, 876 billion, 960 million. And I didn't come up with that. I give you the way I got it from. Nuclear engineer. These stats are from A Scientific Approach to Biblical Mysteries by Robert W. Fade. A former nuclear engineer holds a master's degree in theology. Fade was an agnostic in his early life and converted to Christianity after recovering from a cancer. Fade was awarded the Nobel Prize for Mathematics. Fade is listed as the inventor on 2 1977 U.S. patents relating to improvements in the construction of concrete structures such as the containment buildings for nuclear power plants. This is not a dumb guy. So he did the study on what I just gave you on the probability of all that happening on the same day. And that's how it come out. Listen, we're talking about God here. We're talking about God. When Yahweh decides to set things in order in a pattern for us, he wants us to understand it. Listen, I don't know how in the world, after just what I talked about already, that you wouldn't want to set your heart and your whole life to pursue God like you've never pursued him before. And let me tell you why we struggle with it. Leaven. That's why we're in unleavened bread. Listen, nobody can remove the leaven unless you got to do it. You got to be willing to pull the leaven out. And the more you resist it, the more leaven. You can keep resisting it, the more leaven. But you decide that. You say, you know what? I want to remove this. I don't want to do this. I don't want to think this. I don't want to have. And you consciously say it every time. What is that? Taking the leaven out every single time. Because a little bit will go a long way. So the question is, why the third day? Why the third day? Let's look at this for a little while. Why the third day? The third day patterns, we'll see some of them. I'm not going to give them all to you. There's a bunch of them. You could teach on this for a long time. This is a long series. But I'll just give you a few of them just because I'm telling you, I'm so thankful about tonight and us having a chance to come and just spend this little bit of time getting us ready and understanding some things about first fruits. Number one. On the third day, the earth brought forth vegetation, seed-bearing plants of every kind and trees of every kind bearing fruit. When? Third day. Now, how many of you know that there's different instances in the Bible where trees springing up also have representation of people? It's representation of people. And you shall be like a tree, planted. How many understand what I'm talking about? So when I say that, that's what I'm talking about. And so this is something that's important. It's very important for you to understand. Valuable that you grab hold to these principles and see them. So on the third day, the earth brought forth vegetation, seed-bearing plants of every kind, trees of every kind bearing fruit on the third day. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place, Mount Moriah, from afar. There he intends to offer his son Isaac as a burnt offering to God. Yet assured his companion, we will worship and we will return. But when did he see it? On the third day is when he saw it. On the third day. And I want you to understand, this is important stuff. You see it all throughout Scripture. We see these patterns. Could Jesus rise on less than 3 days and three nights? No, but why is the society bent on that happening? Because, I don't know, because we can't count? Because it's amazing how we'll set something and that's all it's ever going to be. And it's just not, and listen, if he died, and it's the evening time, right, toward the evening, the afternoon, and on the third, if it's out on that Friday evening, and then he's already out the grave by Sunday morning, count that for 3 days. Somebody try to make me understand that. Can somebody? Who wants to try it? Because I've been trying it. It just doesn't add up. Number three, on the third day, Pharaoh released the chief cupbearer from death row. When did he release him? On the third day. You think that's coincidence? There's no coincidence. He released him on the third day from death row. And these are important principles, important issues for us to continue to look at. Number four, on the third day, Joseph released his brothers from prison in Egypt. And I mentioned that a while ago. On the third day, he released them. And they went. And when they went, they brought, who'd they bring back with them? Remember Benjamin was born at that time? Joseph had never knew Benjamin was born. But that's significant. Benjamin's significant coming. But let me tell you, Judah. The whole group of Hebrews were brought to Egypt. When did he go? On the third day. And then he tells them, go get them. When did they get there? Nisan 17. All of these things are significant. They're very important. Number five, on the third day, the Israelites requested Pharaoh's permission to make a 3-day journey to offer a sacrifice in a desert to God. On the third day, the Israelites requested Pharaoh permission to go 3 days journey. For 3 days. They had no intention to come back whatsoever. They figured 3 days out, he'll never catch us. He tried. And God knew he would catch him, but he said, I'll deliver you. Nisan 17, I'll get you out of here. The waters apart and I'll get you through on dry ground. And I'll destroy your enemy. The enemy that pursued you up to today, after today, he told him, he said, you'll see him no more. It's done. They're finished. Now, you ever notice when I was growing up, when these shows will come along and they'll be so written to go everything against the Bible. You ever notice that? I mean, the Bible can't be true because of this and that. The scientists, and that's how history was written, and they put it in our literature books, and they pass it out and teach your children, teach it in the colleges. Nowadays, they're starting to go, okay, we're going to rewrite it. Because they got all this stuff, and they're finding all these chariot wheels and all this stuff in the Red Sea, and it's amazing. And now they say, well, maybe it wasn't quite like we originally thought. And now you got all these people just starting to change their mind. How many know God's going to let it be told? They'll never find this or never find that. There's discoveries that when God says it's going to be found, there's going to be found. And I'm so thankful for the Lord and what he does. Number six, on the third day, plague nine. The plague of the darkness in Egypt ends, though Israelite enjoyed light in their dwelling. So how long did it last? Darkness? 3 days. 3 days. But the Israelites enjoyed light, but then it ended in 3 days. All these things are patterns. Number seven, on the third day, God descends to Mount Sinai in fire with sounds of the shofar. He then reveals the 10 words or the commands, Israel's constitution of new life as a nation after their resurrection from the dead of slavery in Egypt. Now, what did the dead, how we know they resurrected from the dead? Because on Nisan 17, they went through the sea. That was their death. That's the baptism. And he resurrected them on the other side. How many see this? These are important things that we got to remember. And so then he meets them on the third day. He said, tell them to wash their clothes, clean up. Because they've been traveling. He said, wash, get everybody to clean up. Everybody get clean. Let me tell you. And then he met with them. But let me tell you what happened after Moses died and Joshua was going to take them across Jordan. How long did the spies, I didn't put this one in there, but the spies went over and they were hid by the Jerichoites. Lady, how long did they hide for? Who wants to guess? 3 days. Then they went on the other side. They had to get them all ready to go, right? There was a circumcision. I mean, remember that. All of these things are important for us to understand. And so these are valuable principles for us to, and you can just keep studying on your own. You'll see all of these things. They're so important and they'll help us along the way. I just got a couple more and then we're going to sing. On the third day, Jonah is expelled from the fish's belly. How many like my word there, expelled? The fish threw up. That's what happened. The fish threw him up on the third day. Just as Jonah's 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. That's what he said. If you want a sign, that's what he said. If you want a sign, the only sign I'm going to give you is that sign. And that's what he said. Wow. Isn't that incredible? So if I don't, let me tell you, did you talk about confidence in your father? If I don't come up in 3 days and three nights, I'm a false teacher. They're going to kill me. They're going to put me on the cross. And they're going to bury me. If I don't come up in 3 days and three nights, don't listen to anything I ever told you. But I'm telling you, just like Jonah, and they understood when he mentioned that. because they knew that story. They knew that story over and over. They told it to their children. They rehearsed it over and over about Jonah. He said, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights, I'm going to be 3 days and three nights. And if it doesn't happen, then don't listen to anything I've ever said. But they went and they were going to check. They were going to check. That's just what he said. Just what he said. And so that really said it. Number nine, on the third day after fasting, Esther put the royal apparel into the palace of the Persian king in order to thwart the plot against her people, the Jews. And what happened? She did it on the third day. She said, fast with me for 3 days and three nights. And on that third day, she walked in. And he says, whatever I need to do, we're going to make the changes necessary. And so he instituted the great deliverance is where we get the Feast of Purim from. And so all of these things connect, everything. So I hope that you see this. I hope that you see the value in it. And there's so much more to say in between, but we got tomorrow to take care of a lot of this stuff about first fruits. But I want you to see this. This is important. So prepare yourself. Prepare yourself. Let's sing a song. Let's sing something before we leave. And let's worship Yahweh. Let's give him glory and honor and praise because he deserves the praise. He deserves the glory and he deserves the honor. And I want you to start asking him, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do to give something? I don't want to come before Yahweh empty handed. What can I do? Whatever he speaks to your heart to do. Then you come and listen. Well, he's not going to speak something into your heart that's out of your ability to do. And that's what they teach is so bad, they're teaching. You don't have it, but that's okay. Pledge it. There's no pledging. You either got the sheave in your hand or the barley's not right. It's not Aviv. Do you understand? There was no pledge. They didn't go out and say, oh, yeah, come back to the priest. Oh, it's not ready. But we're pledging it. When they come out, the sickle went into the barley and they brought the Aviv. Do you understand? In the month of Aviv, he said, when the barley's right, that's when you know it's the first of the month. That's when you get ready. So all of those, 10th day, the 14th day, the 17th day, the Aviv is ready. You bring it in your hand. You have to go before Yahweh with the wave offering on the first fruits. It's called first fruits. So when they come in, that's what they had, the first fruits. You can't say, I'm a pledge it. That doesn't make sense. You don't pledge it. Nobody wants you to pledge it because you ain't got it. But they want it. And they don't care what kind of bondage it puts you in. They want it. You don't have it. But they make it sound like if you just sow it in faith. There is no sowing in faith, the Aviv. This is what he says. It's either ready or it's not time yet. That's how they watch the grain. They watch it. They'd watch it. They'd watch it. And they constantly go out. Say, yep, it's ready. Bind the sheaves. They bind the sheaves. And then after the next day, not the day of bind. Why did they bind the day before? Because the Shabbat was next. Remember, there's two high holy days during unleavened. We talked about that. Two of them. And it falls that way because you have a higher holy day instituted by Yahweh, you think he's going to go against his six-day, seven-day pattern? He won't do it. That's why you get two of them. So he's got first day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day, Shabbat. And so when it falls, if you're going to have two, it's going the way it's going to work. And did it happen the same thing with Jesus? Absolutely it did. It happened the same way. That's why they had to get the stuff had to be bought ahead of time before they could go in to anoint the body because that whole time they had to wait because it was a holy day. And so all of these things are important. I hope I could get into more of that tomorrow with you. So I hope that you understand that. Pray and ask the Lord, what can I do? And he's not going to expect anything from you than what's already it's in your hands. You have it. It's something you can do now. And it doesn't matter how big or how small. It's not to be compared with what somebody else does. It's in your heart. That's first fruits. That's what it's all about. and hope that you understand that. And so, listen, we have followed and followed all these things for all this time. And God is saying, you know what? I'm going to take you out now. I'm going to take you out. There's going to be a great exodus, a deliverance. And that's what God is doing for us. So I hope that you understand that this is important. First fruits is a great value. He said, you cannot come before him empty handed. There's got to be something that you consciously put in from your heart that you do. And in whatever that is, you present that before Yahweh. You do that. You know that some people, I don't know where they get it from, but just one lady popped up and baked a pie. And so she gives a pie and I can tell you it's not a pie. It's not, because what happened was, then it started where everybody was given a pie. And so that's why it's not for you to do something and somebody else sees it and says, well, I'm going to do that. That's not out your heart. That's because somebody else done it. It's between you and Yahweh. And that's what you do. And whether that is a monetary, doesn't matter. What matters is what you do between you and Yahweh. That matters. But you can't go. He said, don't come before me empty handed. Did Jesus go before Yahweh empty handed? No. At some point he ascended. At some point he ascended from when the women were there and Thomas. And he didn't go empty handed. He brought the entire offering that he was supposed to bring to present before Yahweh. And Yahweh received that. Now, there's a time period of that happening. Because why is first fruit important? Because what we start to do after first fruit, we count the Omer, right? So what are we getting ready for? What's the next thing we're getting ready for? We're going to count 50, right? We're going to count 50. What are we getting ready for? Pentecost. So that's important. So we get now once we come to our service tomorrow, we're going to start counting the Omer, and we're getting ready. That's why it was so important. They knew when they brought it in and they made the wave offering, they waved it before Yahweh, then they started counting because the Pentecost was coming. How many thank God for Shavuot? How many appreciate the fact that you and I could come before him and the power, we understand the power and release that the Holy Spirit now dwells inside of us. And now that gift, and I showed you, that gift was not just from Yahweh, but both Yahweh and Christ was the reason. He spoke of the Holy Spirit, which was not yet given, because he had to do something first. What did he have to do? He had to become the wave offering. He had to, and once he did that, now he stayed several days later, did he not? And then he left, and then they went to tarry in Jerusalem till it was endued with power from on high. And they tarried how many days? They tarried 10 days. 10 days. So we, on all accounts, we see he left on the 40th day. But I submit to you, that was the second time. Because he couldn't go. It was out of the pattern of God. He had to bring the wave offering. He had to. How many love when God will just, every now and then, he'll just drop something like that and say, you know what, take a look at this. And I'm so thankful for the Lord. He's good to us. He's good to us. But if he'd have left on the 40th day and done that presentation, and there's only 10 days left, you count from there, we ought to sink. We got pink squares everywhere. But if he left between that time and we count, we got something happening here. And this is wonderful. So I hope that you would take the time to ask the Lord, what can I do? What can I do? I don't want to come before you empty handed. And that's something that all of us can do. There's not a person in here, because this has nothing to do with how much you have. It has nothing to do with how big it is. But if you was going to give your first fruit, if you was doing something, if somebody was coming over to your house, and I see you have do it all the time. People do it. So you go visit somebody, hey, sit down right here. And they want to give you, they go and dig, maybe they... they didn't prepare a meal because you were just coming to visit. They still want to give you. What did they wanted to do something for you, get something for you to drink or something. And why are you doing that? Because you understand what it means to give you first. You understand that. And that's what he's saying. Look, remember to do the same. Do the same for me. And we have a day that's been set aside or set apart called a holy day. And that's the Feast of First Fruits. And this is important, very important to understand. And so I hope that you grab hold to what did he give us? What did he give us on first fruit? He gave us the resurrected Yeshua. Wow. The resurrected Yeshua, he gave us. That's so incredible. And so he says, don't come before me empty handed. And he said it should be an everlasting ordinance and a statute. So it continues to go on. So all he's saying is to participate in that. Do something. Think about it. What can I do? And so I want you to ask the Lord. Let's stand together. We're going to y'all come and play. We're going to sing a song. And while we're standing here, you start asking the Lord. Say, I want to do, what can I do? What can I do to participate in first fruits, Lord? What can I give? I want to give my first fruit to you. And you can do something. It could be something that'll be a blessing to you and to your family. It could, whatever it is the Lord puts on your heart, whatever he speaks into your life for you to do. You do that. You do it with everything that's in you and you give to the Lord. This is important. So I pray that you'll grab hold to these principles. I hope that the study tonight has helped you. And I know that there's so much to this. There's so much stuff that I want to say. There's so many things that we can talk about. But we're just believing and trusting that Yahweh knows what needs to be said. Anything that didn't need to be said, we ask that it never take root in your life. It bring no fruit to you whatsoever. But what needed to be said by the Holy Spirit, that it would take root, it would bring forth fruit, and you and I can do what God is wanting us to do. We can yield to him. So you preparing tonight, you come here tomorrow, you prepare yourself in that service. I want to come and I want to bring the sheave. I want to bring in the Aviv is there. The sickles went in. The resurrection has happened. And we start in the evening, right? That's why we start in the evening. And we're going into a new day. How many thank God that he's given us this hope and this information to continue to serve him and love him? He's so good to us. So I appreciate him. Why would they sing a song? And while they're singing, just worship him. Honor him. Say, Lord, well, I want to do something. I want to do whatever it is. Put it in my heart. Put it on my heart to do it. Whatever it is. I want to do it with everything that's in me. Thank you, Father.